Let me just share a couple of verses of scripture here. Matthew 28, verses 16 on. But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some were doubtful. A bit like today, isn't it? Yeah. They'll see a miracle, they'll see a healing, they'll hear the word of God, and they'll still doubt it. Mm-hmm. I don't understand why, I can't get my head around that, but they'll still doubt it.
Reason it.
The mind kicks in and begins to try and reason out why these things cannot happen. Mm. Because the problem is, you see, because we cannot understand with our natural mind, then we have to come up with an excuse and a reason to dismiss it and say this cannot be possible.
Still work it out syndrome then.
Yes, and there are times when there are things that at this point in time cannot be worked out. Science proves that in itself, right? Human science proves that at times they can't work certain things out. Then time proceeds along and suddenly we have a computer that can work much, much faster and it can work out these scientific equations, suddenly produces an answer that man's never been able to produce for some reason. And so on. And so it goes on. And so here they are, they're trying to reason out that this can't be Jesus. Who is it? But it is, as we all know. And then Jesus came up to them and spoke to them, saying, all authority. This is what I want us to just focus on briefly, and then we're going to go into prayer. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Wow. All authority has been given to Jesus Christ in heaven and on earth. Because of his death, his submission to God, and his resurrection. And we're coming up to Easter to celebrate not just the death, but we're celebrating the resurrection life. Because you and I are here and we exist because of that resurrection life, aren't we? It's fantastic. And that is what we can rejoice about. Easter should be that time of celebrating where we rejoice about the fact that our Saviour rose from the dead, that he might give us life, he might deliver us from guilt, he might deliver us from condemnation, he might cleanse us from all unrighteousness and cause us to be righteous.
Yeah.
That's what we are, made in his very image. Righteous, sinless, spotless, perfect. Because that's who the Son of God is.
Yeah.
And we're made in his very image. That's how God intended you and I to be. Because that's how God created us at the beginning of time. This is going to be part of my message on Friday, actually. Now I'm getting there.
That's
I've been awake most on and off a couple of nights trying to preach it through, you know, find out where I'm going really with all this. You see, it says in the beginning. And often it's termed as paradise.
Yeah.
It's perfect. Everything was great. But he put his son in there. He put his child, his man-child. And he placed him in the garden and gave him a woman. And after some time they took their eyes off him and they looked at something else, got distracted. That's why I've been preaching for quite a while now. Keep Jesus centre. Keep Jesus centre. Don't let us get distracted by something else. It's so easy to get distracted by something else and then miss Jesus.
Yeah.
Miss what he's trying to say, trying to do in our lives. And so there we see that in the garden there's the sin that comes in, and God then has to remove man from the paradise that he created him, that very perfect place. He removes him and he blocks the way and he sets an angel to guard the only entrance into the place.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said, I am the way.
He did.
the truth
yeah.
and the life. The entrance back into God's paradise is through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And so when he died on that cross and rose again, he then opened the way.
Mm.
He was the way. He is the way
mm.
where we can enter back into God's paradise. Because you see, God has intended that when Jesus died on the cross, that he died for all of creation. It says creation groaneth,
mm-hmm.
waiting for its deliverance, waiting for its salvation.
Mm.
And in what God is going to do, God is going to bring back and restore what he created in the very beginning.
Amen.
Because God does not give up
no.
on his creation.
No.
God has never given up on his creation.
Yeah.
Because otherwise he would have never sent Jesus.
Mm.
By sending Jesus, he paid the price to buy back all of creation that Adam lost. Because in the beginning, Adam was placed in charge of the earth. And he lost it. But when Jesus came, Jesus, in this scripture, says, all power. All authority have been given to me in heaven and on earth.
Amen.
In other words, he's saying, I'm in charge.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the boss of all of this. And suddenly, Jesus, in other parts of scripture in Matthew, tells his disciples, I give you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I give you my authority.
Yeah.
Matthew 16, Matthew 18. I give you the authority. That's powerful. Because God is... You see, we've not got to have this defeatist attitude. And many churches are having this defeated attitude. Oh, we're just hanging on till Jesus comes back. No, we ain't. He says to rule and to reign.
Amen.
You don't hang on. If you're ruling and you're reigning,
yeah.
You take charge, you
yeah.
take responsibility. We take charge over sickness and disease,
mm.
over demonic,
mm.
over circumstances and situations through the name of Jesus, through the and I know so often it can be caught as a cliche, oh, through in the name of Jesus. But in that name of Jesus, what we should be really saying, in that relationship that we have with Jesus Christ, I take authority.
Yeah.
That's what it really means.
Yeah.
It's in that relationship that I have with Jesus Christ that I can turn around and say, and in the name of Jesus. In other words, I am his representative.
Amen.
He's in me and I'm in him.
Yeah.
And so we take on that authority because he says, I give to you the keys of the kingdom.
Yeah.
Mm. Wow. Mm. God is about restoring, not bailing us out. Paradise restored is what it's about. It is not about bail us out, revelation mentality, call us up, you know, when that trumpet shall sound and the dead shall be raised. And I know there's a song and we look to sing it. There's a truth in it. But the problem is they take that truth and they extend it to a lie. Because the dead shall be raised. The trump shall sound. It shall sound his mighty arrival.
Amen.
To take his position
yeah.
in the kingdom.
Amen.
Because he's the king.
Mm.
And we're preparing the kingdom
mm.
for the king. You look at Daniel and that great statue.
Mm.
And he says a stone from the mountain came, hit the feet of that statue, brought it down, smashed it to smithereens. One stone. Who is he? He's the Jesus, the chief cornerstone.
Yeah.
And it says in Daniel, it says, and that stone began to fill the whole earth.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So if that stone is Jesus, then Jesus will fill the whole earth. The gospel message of salvation, the gospel message of the kingdom of God and paradise restored will fill the whole nation.
It will.
And it may not look like it's happening in England at the moment.
Don't matter.
But God has not changed his plans. No. Just because it doesn't look like it's happening in England. The plan has not changed. God is not moved by what he sees. He's moved by his own word.
Mm-hmm.
And the word of God is faith.
It is.
And he will change the direction and the motivation and the direction of this country.
Mm.
And if he has to bring this country to its knees, he will bring it to its knees until it bows the knee to the name of Jesus Christ. And then he can pour a blessing into it and he can raise it up again.
Amen.
Verse 19 says, go therefore. Go. Make disciples of all the nations.
Yeah.
Well, as a nation, we did that. You know, we went and conquered. You know, when you looked at a map, Bill will tell you, won't you, that when we looked at a map in the Commonwealth, our Commonwealth extended, it was said that the sun never set on the Commonwealth that we had. It was larger than the Roman Empire. It was the largest empire that has ever existed, wasn't it? And do you know why that happened? So that the gospel of Jesus Christ could be carried throughout the world. And that gospel of Jesus will be preached. And the love of God will be preached to nations. And there are nations today that have come to Christ because of the empire. And our empire, although, you know, it was driven at times by money, we know that, there will always be issues that weren't quite perfect. But one of the major things that our empire was on was God. And yes, some people misuse it, and it will always be that case. But the ultimate, the first motivation behind it was the message of the gospel. The message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so, we as a nation, in those days, we're fulfilling this scripture. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them. That's what's missing today. They don't want to be taught. It's like we've been saying. They're lazy. They feel that there's nothing there for them. And yet, you know, if they could get a grasp of God, a grasp of Jesus,
amen,
when there is no hope, when there is no future, when there is no job, when you take Jesus' hand, suddenly there's a future, there's a hope, there's a job, there's life in the hands of God. The youth message, you know where we're going tonight. And so, this is what God has for us. But again, I'm back to where I always seem to end up at the moment this year. Keep Jesus in the centre. Focus on him. Don't let other things distract you.
No.
Make him first. Everything else should come second. I know it's a challenge, but God put you first. God put you first. He could have turned to Jesus and said, look, son, I think it might be a waste of time. We'll not bother. We'll just leave it. We'll just wind it all up and we'll do it somewhere else. We'll start again. But he didn't.
No.
That which was lost, he came to seek and to save, to redeem back to him. And this is where we're at. This is what God wants to do for us. And so teaching them to observe all the commandments that I give to you. For lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you.
Amen.
Never's a big word. You hear people, I'll always be your friend. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. 6 months go by and you've coughed in the wrong place and that's it. And they're gone.
As good as the last thing you did.
Yeah, that's right. You're as good as the last thing you did. And if you say something that offends them, then I'm sorry, I'm gone. Well, tough, hard lines. You know, if you aren't big enough to deal with it, then really you're not a friend, and you're not. I'm bigger than one if you're really saved.
I think it's like you say, over years you know when your friend, who your friends are.
Oh, yeah. And that's not, friends are always in your pocket.
Oh, well.
But they're there for you. You know, you could, you know, ring up and talk and pray. I mean, say, 1960,
no, 50. Yeah, or 80s.
Whatever, anyway.
80-odd.
In the 80s.
But the thing is, at the end of the day, is also, because I can say by family or by different ones, you get let down.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's your nearest and dearest.
Mm. We're not perfect, none of us.
No.
And that's the thing we have to realise. I'm not perfect, so why should I expect you to be? No, I'm not quite. I'm about 99.99999.
You're every day,
don't
you?
Yes.
But we won't answer that. As in a court of law, you can be incriminated.
But you see, what you've got to remember is that because you, each and every one of us are not perfect, so why do we expect the other person to be perfect?
Yeah, I was thinking something in my prayer the other day, because I'm going to this funeral next week, and I thought, well, I let him down, he let me down, but we sorted it out. But at the end of the day, he's a human being and I'm a human being, and there was only one perfect person.
That's
so
right.
I can't...
No?
You know, if you can't put things right, or you can't sort things out, then...
Do you know we become perfect, or how we progress along that road of God's perfection?
Keeping Jesus in the centre.
It's very good. You're cracking on this one. Right? Keeping Jesus in the centre. But as you keep Jesus in the centre, you learn to that commandment that he gave us. Love one another as I have loved you. You know? And let's be honest, some folk are less lovable than others. But he didn't... But he didn't turn around and say... Love some people as I have loved you. He said, love one another. In other words, there's nobody left out. And you're to love them. In spite of the way they are. In spite of they might not measure up to what you want from them. Come on, let's be honest. We, you know, some folk don't measure up. And we think, oh, they're a trouble causer. Oh, we think, oh, you know, they don't stick to the word. Hey, that's a problem they have. So the need... They need examples. Mm-hmm. They need a focal point. Mm-hmm. And we try and point them to Jesus. But, you know, sometimes the only way that they can see Jesus is by looking at you and looking at me.
Yeah, praise the Lord, yeah.
And seeing the Christ that is in us. Mm. And that's the only way it can happen. You know, you and I are the DVDs of the world that portray Jesus. That's who we are. Helen watched Grace and I for, I don't know, a year, 2 years, I don't know how long it was. I didn't know she was watching.
I didn't
know she was watching.
We're watching Grace.
But it was a case of, I just did what I did because I wasn't doing it for Helen.
No.
I was doing it for me and God. You know, it, in the end, let's be right, let's be selfish enough and be honest and say, I'm doing it for me. I am doing what I do for me because it's about my relationship with Him. Mm. Right? And then if I've got my relationship with Him right, then everything else that I touch or come into contact with will get a benefit from it. But if I'm not right, then I will never be able to really reach those lives fully. But if I have got Jesus right in the centre, and I am doing it for me, because you see, my salvation is not dependent on you guys. Not dependent on Grace. She can pray for me. But in the end, my salvation, my relationship is dependent on God and me. And the person that can influence it the most is me. Right? Not you, it's me. And so if I've got that relationship right, and every one of us gets that relationship right, then the lives that we touch, we will touch with the hand of God. They will see God in us. They will see Jesus in us. And they say, what is it you've got? There's something different about you. And it's not the fact that you go, just because you go to church, but there's something more than just going to church. Right? My car comes to church with me every time. But it ain't a Christian. No. Did you not know that? Still a car, right? But, you know. So.
Is that because it sits in a garage?
Yeah. It doesn't. No, it doesn't. It sits under the heavens, you know. So you would think it was even closer to God, wouldn't you, than I am? Because I go in the house and sleep in the house, basically. But no. But aside from that, it is. It's this personal relationship that we have. Because when my relationship's right, when your relationship's right with God, then we are right with each other. It has to be. Because Jesus said it, love one another as I have loved you. Keep that relationship right. And when you keep that relationship right, it's like, hey. And I suppose in one sense, Jesus, when Peter said about John, what's going to happen to him? He says, what's he got to do with you? Mind your own. Mind your own. You're responsible for you. You're not responsible for your husband, your wife, your mum, your dad. You're responsible for you. Because you don't have the power to save anybody. But you're responsible for you. And you have the power within you to develop that relationship that will help lead people to Christ, that will cause signs, wonders and miracles to be performed in and through the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And that's what the cross is all about. It's about you. It's about you. And that song comes to mind, when I survey that wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died. My richest gains I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. Do you know something? There are a lot of people that need to get some contempt and get a bottle of it and start to pour it on themselves and let Jesus come out and let Jesus be glorified. And it's again, it's when I survey, when I put Jesus in the centre. Nothing else counts. Nothing else matters. You know, Grace and I, we've had a great week this week.
We've been so blessed.
Some people would say, that. How do you imagine, how can you say what you've gone through this week is a blessing? Well, it is. We actually, in the Christian business we've been running, we have two units. One's a very big one, it's quite damp at times, and a lot of stock in there that's getting, well, we've thinned it down, but there's stock in there that's all discontinued. It's heavy. Some stage it needs to be got rid of. We're getting a little older. I want to do more for the Lord. I want to spend less time in that business, even wind the thing down. And suddenly the landlord came to us and said he wanted that building. Initially he wanted us to move completely, and we prayed about this, and he came back to us and said it's not going to be, you can't move out of here. He said, I just want that other place up there. And he said, I'm going to arrange for some help for you to empty it. I'm going to arrange skips to get rid of what you need to get rid of. And you won't have to lift anything. We'll move it all out. You just tell us what you want moving. Tell us what you want to keep. I'm going to arrange a small unit where you can keep the extra stock that you need, and you can have that for free. And I'm like, okay, and so we'd been ruthless. And I mean, there must have been five skip loads probably.
Oh, wow.
And I don't know prices, it's 100 odd quid a skip, I think, at least. Yeah, you know, and it's like, wow. And we wanted to move it in 3 days.
Wow,
that's awesome. And we have some tidying up and sorting out to do, but it's like, hey, ain't God good? You know, people say, oh, that's a disaster, ain't it? No, because we've been praying, Lord, we need to shrink, Lord, we need to get him thinking, what's going to happen? Do you know something? Some folk might say, yeah, but all of that money that you've thrown away, God will sort that. God's already got plans for that. That's organised.
Saved you £500.
Well, saved you £500 plus in skips.
I was going to say, but in rent you're not going to have to pay.
Exactly. Mm. And, oh, that was the other thing. And he's offered to reduce my rent where I am.
Oh, wow. Lovely.
You know, so it's like,
yeah.
What did I say? Keep Jesus.
Oh, yes.
In the centre.
Oh, yes.
You see, you can, you know, it's like with Christian book trade at the moment and that, and people will say, oh, it's really struggling and that, and yeah, it is. But keep Jesus in the centre. Don't focus on, oh, we're not making a lot of money. Don't focus on how we're going to manage. Focus on Jesus. Because the only way that you will manage is when you put Jesus in the centre.
Yeah.
Would you agree? It's the only way. You keep Jesus in the centre. Yeah, but what about my debts? What about my bills? Keep Jesus in the centre.
You see,
my experience over 40 odd years has been by keeping Jesus in the centre. He's never, ever let me down. I've never been begging bread. I've never been seen on the streets. He's always made provision. He's always been there before I arrived at that destination. He's always made a way where, naturally speaking, there was no way. That's my Jesus, you see. But I keep saying, keep Jesus in the centre.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've discovered that.
Yeah.
Because when Manamia decided that she was going to retire, we took a £1,400 a month hit.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
And moved into a bigger house.
Sounds like
that's the same sign.
Like we did.
And now, you know, my wage is all right, but it's, you know, it suffices. And but I knew, and she applied for jobs in between, and nothing happened. So we've decided now that he don't want her to work. So
no, he wants me to work.
But yeah, but not for him, but not for not get paid for it.
He pays, and he pays better
work. Yeah. So work
at the end of the day, we took that,
yeah.
And I shared that with somebody. I said, "He said, yeah, but your wife's retired." I said, "Yeah, she retired, and I took a £1,400 hit." But still keep me house. I still pay me tithe every month.
Yeah.
We've still got folded kitchen.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're not, like you said, we're not fantastically well off. No. But we're blessed. And then she decided to join CAP and says, can you break down your payments? And discovered that our giving was far greater.
Yeah.
It should have been.
Yeah.
But we were still living.
Yeah.
You know? But the thing is, at the end of the day, it's based on what you stand on, you know.
Oh, absolutely, it is.
I go to work now. This year, at 55, if I choose to, I can take what's called flexi retirement. So I can take my pension, and I can have my job, and I can have my pension and my job, if I choose to. I know it's a bit early, if I want to. And I thought, well, I might do because I can then double up my mortgage and clear it off quicker. If I want.
Oh, you just ask God.
You see,
he'll tell me what to do.
I mean, I'm not going to mention a name, but when we were in Bentley, I had somebody in the church who had no money, basically. They were working because of the family, so they had no money. And they said to me they could not afford to tithe. So what they did is when they'd paid all the bills, they looked at what we got left, and God got... between a fiver and 50p, right? And I looked at them and I said, that's wrong. And they flew a tantrum with me and really laid into me. And it's like, I said, look, I'm only saying what I've done all my life as a Christian, and it's worked for me. And I said, I tithe right off the top. I said, even before taxman's arrived, even before NI's anything's come off it. If the company says to me, we're giving you £1,000 a week, then that's it, there's a thousand, you know, a tenth at least comes off that, plus tithes and offerings on top of that is what I do. And so, and the couldn't keep. But you know something, the seed was sown, and it began to push through. And some weeks or months later, he came back to me and said, you know, I said, I've got to apologise to you. I said, why? You know, because I forgot all about it. I remember it now because of the end result. He said, I decided to do what you said. He says, I looked at it in the Word and he said, I thought, I'm going to try it. He said, do you know something? I've got more money in my pocket now than I had before. And I'm giving more to God. I said, I know it works. I don't know how it works because God uses a totally different calculator to the ones that we are given on this earth. You know, we add and subtract and God multiplies.
God a multiplication.
Hallelujah. So, yeah, so we need to pray. Because I think you've been encouraged plenty tonight.
I'm fired up and ready to give the devil a beating. Amen.
Yeah. Praise God. So, pray for Steve and Sandy. As far as I know, they're all doing well. And Daniel and Martin out on missions. Daniel's seems to be doing okay. He preached, I think it was yesterday, on a little mission that they were out somewhere in Romania.